again? Normally, I come up here and I do an introduction and kind of talk to you guys a little bit before I get started. Is this on? No, I did not turn this on. Sorry about that. But yesterday, I had some very bad news happen. And a good friend of our family died. This man was a great man. He spent most of his life dedicated to serving God. He went all over the world to teach people about God. Went from Germany to Myanmar to China to India. Those are just the countries I know about. He taught hundreds of students, both Western literature and Bible. But even after retirement, he was still diligently working. I'm very sad to see him go. But one thing I understand when we read the book of Romans is God wants us to be people like this man. That we understand we are justified not by faith. Sorry, not by works, but by our faith. And because of our faith, we are compelled to go into the world and be good Christians. I want you all to keep that in mind as we explore this lesson today. Let's go to God in prayer. Dear most heavenly and gracious Father, we thank you for salvation. We thank you for the blood of Jesus, that we know without it we would have no way to you. And as we move forward in our walk in faith, we ask that you help us to be the Christians you want us to be, to grow, to live by faith, but also to use the gifts that you have so graciously given us. As we explore what you have to teach us today, we ask you to open our hearts and our minds to the lesson. We give thanks in your name. Amen. Romans, the 15th lesson, or the 12th chapter, the part of the book where I think Paul really drives into, okay, you understand you have been justified by faith, but now go and be better. Paul says this in a way that makes you understand that none of these things that he's going to talk about are going to save you, which is okay. But that's why he says, I want you to go and do these things anyway, because this is what God expects you to be as brothers and sisters in Christ. And I think we try very hard to do that, especially as the Warrensburg Church of Christ. I got to see something amazing on Wednesday. On Wednesday, we had a few dozen people come to us for our annual coat drive. Something that's been going on for as long as I've been here. In the last few years, has been very lackluster. Almost not even worth it. But not this year. This year, I got to help many families, especially families with little kids, provide for something that they themselves could not do. Will they come back? I don't see any of them today. Did we leave an impression on them? I hope so. Does it matter? Absolutely. Because we do not know what kind of effect we are going to have on these people. We are one stop on their journey to Christ. And if I can nudge people in His direction, then I will do anything that He calls me to do to make that possible. Because I know how important it is to be a Christian. I know how important it is to have faith in the one true God, to be baptized into the name of Christ, to be redeemed by His blood. And because of these things, I have the Holy Spirit. I have God that lives inside of me. And that is amazing. Am I perfect? Rachel says no. I'm going to go with Rachel. No. Am I close? not even by miles. But I am forgiven. And that is a wonderful feeling. And because God has given me this wonderful gift, He has given all of this wonderful gift, I have to be better. Because that is the best way to live in this gift, to appreciate this gift, to present ourselves as living sacrifices, to avoid the temptations of this world, to be transformed and to renew our minds. We are family. We are expected to act like the family of God. Live in humility, work in unity, and use our gifts according to our faith. If our gift is prophecy, then prophesy. I don't know anybody who has this gift, but that would be pretty cool. If our gift is serving, oh, we have so many people with this gift. And those people are wonderful people. And they do it to the best of their ability. If our gift is teaching, then teach Him. If your gift is contribution, then give generously. Lead, then do it. But don't neglect the gift that He has given you. Because He expects us as brothers and sisters in Christ to not only go into the world and share the good news that Jesus Christ is risen, and in Him you might find mercy and love and salvation, but He expects us to live our lives according to this world. And when we don't, we are hypocrites. Paul talks about those people. He talks about the people who suppress truth, who dishonor their bodies, exchange unnatural relationships, or live in unrighteousness. Does that sound like Christians you know? Maybe. I mean, there's literally 2 billion people in the world who claim to know Christ, to be saved by Christ. And I don't think I know very many of these Christians, but I certainly know very many of these. In fact, I've probably been even accused of something on that list. And that should make me ashamed. Because not only am I dishonoring the gift that God has given me, but I'm pushing people away because they are watching us very, very closely. And they are looking for any opportunity to say, I don't want a part of that. Especially when the world says, you can do whatever you want. The world sees us as hypocrites. Especially because we are. We trade. We try to make ourselves look better. We try to say, hey, look at how great I am. I go into the community. I do these good things. I help out by feeding the poor, by clothing the cold, by whatever it is we do. And the thing is, those are good things to do. These are things that God wants us to do. But He wants us to do them for what? For Him. Not for ourselves. And so if we do them for ourselves, we are not only looking like the whitewashed tombs that Jesus described in the Gospels, but we are doing it for selfishness, for pride. Paul understood this when he said, it doesn't matter how much you do. If you don't do it for love, then you have gained nothing. Where is love? God is love. God exists inside of me. And that's amazing. And God is much greater than me. And that's even better. But God gives me the choice to control my body, how I am. So if I'm not doing these things in love, if I'm not doing these things from God, I am essentially holding back the Holy Spirit. And Jesus had no patience for hypocrisy. He says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you tithe mint and dill and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. These you ought to have done without neglecting the others. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you clean the outside of the cup and the plate, but inside they are full of greed, self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, first clean out the inside of your cup and plate, then the outside may also be clean. Does that last part sound really, really familiar to you? Jesus also said these words in another way. He said them in Luke chapter 6, where he says, take the speck out of your own eye before helping out your brother. That's a different way Christians tend to be hypocrites. There's a story in the Gospel of Luke about this. Oh, I'm jumping ahead. I'm going to skip here to this part. There's a story in the Gospel of Luke about this woman who is hurt for some reason. The Bible's not very clear about why she's hurt. And the issue comes, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? First off, it is. If you look at the Talmud, there is not one single prohibition about healing on the Sabbath. But they said to Jesus, there are 6 other days to work. Jesus says, you hypocrite, you would certainly work on the Sabbath if it benefited you, if it benefited your pocketbook. If your ox or donkey was hurt or hungry, you would still do these things. But here is something much more important. Here is a child of God. Stop with the posturing and posing and do good. Be the Christian that God wants you to do. But in this way, we engage in hypocrisy. In this way, we seek the praise of people. Pride. You guys like the feeling of doing good? It's a great feeling. But love seeks humility. Love seeks us to do things not for our own will, but for the will of God. Which is why Jesus tells the people here, don't go and pray loudly so that everyone can see you doing it. But instead, go into the closet and pray. Because it is not about the action of you praying, but it is about you having a relationship with God. And Christians, much like the Pharisees, but the Pharisees chose to live in pride. But Christians, we are called to live in righteousness, to give our lives over in prayer and supplication to Christ, to focus on what is good and noble and pure. Because we are better. And knowing better and being better are not the same thing. Because I know what it is good. But I also know I don't always engage in good. I do the things where, like Paul says here in Romans chapter 1, I exchange truth for lies. I engage in dishonesty and impurity in my heart. But in Romans chapter 12, in verse 9, Paul says the epitome of all things we should do as Christians, as being better, as living in righteousness, is to let love be genuine. Mark, I love the translation that you used here. Because this is one of the places where the ESV is not very good. Because the word genuine here is not a good translation. In fact, the correct translation means without hypocrisy. Do you guys know where this word comes from? It comes from the idea of Greek theater, where people would come and they would perform, and then occasionally they would wear a mask. And they were called hypocrites because they were hiding who they were. And as Christians, we are not supposed to hide who we are, but we are instead supposed to live in love. Let it be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor, not for your glory, but for His. Because love is a verb. Love requires action. Will that action save you? No. But I have a hard time seeing how faith is manifested inside of us if it is not built upon the action of love. And if you are living in love, you are living in worship. This is how I like this progression of chapter 12 where Paul built it all on the foundation of love. And he says, from here, it only gets harder, but it also gets better. Because worship is living in love. And we do not confine worship to one day a week, to one hour a week, to one place in that one hour, in that one day. But it should be who we are as a people in every single moment in our lives. We should pray as often as possible. We should serve both God and man. We should contribute to those in need. And we should praise Him through all actions and everything we do with zeal and fervent spirit. We should do the hard things. Bless those who hate you. Oh, that's hard. You guys know people who hate you? It's not a great feeling. And you want to lash out. But Jesus tells us to do exactly the opposite of what our intuition is. Bless them. Rejoice with those who rejoice, because they have good news to share. Weep for those who weep, because they need your help. Get along, don't fight, trust in the wisdom of God. All these things are hard, but we do these things because why? We live in love, and love is not about us. Paul picks it up a notch in the next part. He says, "Repay no one for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourself, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, and I will repay,' says the Lord." Another hard thing. Not to seek justice, but to let God take control of it. Bless those who hate you. This is not talking about the justice system. Certainly, if someone does something wrong, then we should let the current justice system play out. But what God is saying here is remove yourself from the equation. Paul says it, Jesus says it, God says it in the Old Testament. This thought is repeated all over the Bible. Why? Because this takes us down a path that is going to pull us away from God's love. Don't do it. But Paul doesn't say, don't do it. He says, you should avoid it. Let God do it. And a little bit of poetic justice, by doing good, you're going to heap hot coals on their head. I love this. I think this is a little bit funny. And Paul's quoting the Proverbs here where he says, "If your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he is thirsty, give him water to drink. For you will heap burning coals on his head, and the Lord will reward you." Meaning that you're doing what you're supposed to do. And in a way, you're going to kind of get that revenge. But you are doing good. And that is what God wants you to do. We can't control what the world thinks about us. Hopefully, we can control what we do. We can control our actions. And we can live in God's love. We've received the blood of Christ. And while the mark of the Christian should not be new or foreign to us, it should be how we live. Are you living in love? Can we help you with that? I hope so. If there's something we can do for you, feel free to come forward as Ian leads us in song.